Okay, gentlemen, we're up to Siman Tov to design Seif Beis. And we'll be learning a lot about the halachas of animals. Now, the Jews are generally not known to be animal lovers. For some reason or another, I think a lot of it is based on untruths. But I think Jews generally are not well known to be animal lovers. I think I know a bit why. I think my theory is that I think there's a few reasons. I think that part of the reason is because a lot of many people who are overemphasizing the animal love often I don't know if it's by chance or not, but very often they tend to be very anti-Semitic. Have you noticed that? So I think people who are overemphasizing the animal love often end up. I'm not sure what exactly the dynamics is, but for instance, it's well known that the Nazis were tremendous animal lovers, many of them, and they looked after their pet in a really gentle manner. But at the same time, they were able to murder millions of people. So it's that balance which at times. I'm not sure, but Yidden care after their animals, that is a fact, and that's a halacha, and that's a requirement, and we're going to see a tremendous, fantastic, inspiring bi'halacha today, which is going to disprove anybody who ever feels that there's some sort of, you'll see today in the bi'halacha, to what extent a person has got to look after his animals, we've come across a few places like that, a few interesting halachas over the Shulchan Aruch, but tonight is one of them. So, we've discussed yesterday, yesterday the halacha of trapping animals on Yom Tov, and we discussed trapping really whilst in reality we would have expected it to be one of the malachas which is permitted because it's Oichel Nefesh, you're trapping an animal to eat it, just like Shechita is permitted, and Bishul is permitted, you would have thought that trapping an animal is also permitted, yet it's one of those exclusions, one of those limitations, one of those that actually you're not allowed to, because you're not allowed to do this, whether it's Darbon or Deres, because as we discussed, it's one of the they tend to do in a bulk, in a large amount, and therefore Chachomim forbade it. We were suspicious that if we allow you to trap animals, you can end up fishing the whole pond and keep that for the, fishing for the rest of the month. So therefore, you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Nevertheless, Tzedo has at times permissions. At times, you're allowed to trap in a permitted way. And the rule of thumb is, whenever it's not Mechus Tzedo, the condition being Mechus Tzedo, if something is confined already, you're allowed to take it further, because it's confined already, so it's trapped already, so you could actually just take it out from there. But then, for the matter of fact, that's really something which is not just on Yom Tov, that's on Shabbos as well. That's not a heter in Yom Tov, that's a general rule. Whenever something is confined already, you can take it and restrict its movement further because it's confined already. So the example discussed yesterday, which was a prime example, was the pond, the beaver, in which if it's a very small environment for the fish, and it's a kind of environment you could just trap the fish, catch it and take it, then you'll be not saved and you'll have to do that on Yom Tov. Whereas if the area is a bit bigger, it's a bit larger, it's a larger pond, or if it's a river, then you'll be allowed to take the fish because it's considered tzad. Right, and that is true on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. That's the general halacha of Tzedo. Additionally, what we discussed, there's always another element which needs to be discussed. We'll see on that further today, Beis Hashem. There's a question of mukta. If an animal was never intended to be consumed on Yom Tov, then never mind Tzedo, then it's not a problem that you're going to be touching on the problem of mukta. So, if it's an animal you never expected to actually eat, then you have to leave it away, you can't take it because it's mukta. Right, okay, let's see a bit more on that. Dogim ve'oifo seif beis. Dogim, fish, ve'oifos, birds, chickens, ve'chayo she'e mukta, which are mukta. So I never expected or never intended to use that fish, that chicken, so they're mukta. Ein mashkinoisen b'yom tov, I may not prepare and give drinks for the animal on Yom Tov. Ve'noisim lifnei mezoinos, and I may not bring food in front of them. Why? Shema lest yovoy likach mehem, perhaps you're going to end up taking them. V'chol ma she'asu le'ochloi, And since this is something which is set aside, it's separate, never intended to eat it, never intended to use it, so therefore it's muktzah. Whatever I'm not allowed to eat or use, because muktzah also, I wouldn't be allowed to move. So the root of the problem, the root of the point is that this is an animal which I never intended to eat. Since I never intended to eat it, so it's muktzah. Since it's muktzah, I'm not allowed to move it. And since I'm not allowed to move it, Chachamim now is teaching us, Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, don't put food in front of it, because we're worried, once you're going to put food in front of it, you're going to end up moving the animal. And that you're not allowed to, therefore you may not feed the animal. Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Hei, which is the second wide line. Ein mashkin ve'noistim lifnei. Kosu achonim da'achonim, right. Tafke lifnei mamash osu litein. This is only if it's very literally and very, very literally placing the food in front of the animal. Habalim noisim b'roche k'tzas. But if you're not placing the food right in front of the nose of the animal, but you're putting it a little bit further to the side, then and the animal is actually going, is getting closer and eating from that place where you didn't actually put in front of the nose, in front of the mouth, you place it a bit further away, and you're putting it aside, and the animal smells it and understands it, then he goes to that place and eats it. That if it's berochik k'tzas, with a bit of distance, then boim ve'oichlim, and they come and eat it less than, but it's not a problem at all, that's fine, it's permitted. Why? Given that I say kaira, since you put it in a recognizable and different manner, mitka, you remember, you're going to recognize and remember, voloyosi likach mem, you're going to end up moving it. So since feeding per se is not a problem, it's just that we are worried that if you're going to feed the animal, you're going to end up carrying it, moving it, and that is a problem because it's mukta. So once you're not doing it in a regular way and you're placing the food further away from the animal, it's the irregular kind of, it's not the it's not the normal way you placed the food, so therefore we're not worried, you're not going to end up carrying the animal, you're going to move it, and therefore it's okay. You're not going to take from one of them. Yeah, you're not going to take, never mind all of them, but even one of them. Yeah, there's a lot of fish. We're worried that you're going to end up taking one of them. You're not going to start taking from one of them. Shema, perhaps, to eat. We're worried you're going to start taking it to eat it. I mean, Sivkot and Vav, turning to page 208. Another point, what happens if you are trying to feed your donkey, or you're trying to feed your horse? So there is no chashash. That the whole worry is, you're going to start taking it to eat. The moving of the animal is only going to be likely. Why would you move an animal? Why would you take the animal? It's the reason is probably because you're going to shecht it and eat it. That's the normal way. You're going to, if it's, you know, a kind of animal that you just let roam around in the field, you're not going to end up, why, you feed it and that's it. You know, you're not going to bother moving it about. But if it's an animal which is really close, you see that chicken, oh wow, that's a good chicken, pshay, wow, magnificent one, I really want it, really. So if you feed the chicken, we're worried you're going to end up taking it or taking one of them and you're going to start eating it. So that all chashash is only if it's an animal which you're not allowed to eat. But if it's an animal which you're not allowed to eat, you don't worry, you're going to end up, you're not going to move it. Why on earth should you just end up stepping around the donkey? You're going to leave it alone. So therefore you're allowed to place the food in front of the donkey because you're not going to end up moving it, because you're not going to end up eating it. So therefore you'd be allowed to do that. Now, this is all very nice, but that cannot be the whole picture, because that sounds, I'm not coming from an animal welfare background, but there is something which seems to be intrinsically wrong. So the side of the seif is that you may not feed your animals. What do you mean you may not feed your animals? That sounds cruel. It really does sound cruel. You're not going to feed your animals because it's going to end up, because perhaps it's going to be mukta. So I understand. So the horse and the donkey, we've sorted. If you own any animal which you can't eat, right, that's not a problem. We learned it's not enough. But if you've got kosher animals, which is the most likely scenario, if you've got chickens, you've got fish, you've got cows, you've got animals which in principle you could shecht and eat and enjoy. So what are we telling you now? We're telling you, don't feed them. Don't feed them the whole Yom Tov. Not on the first day Yom Tov, not on the second day Yom Tov. And perhaps if the Shabbos is attached to it, you're going to feed your animals for 3 days. Because if you're going to feed it, you're going to end up perhaps wanting it, Muktzah, and you're going to end up, what do you mean? It sounds, it really does sound cruel. Furthermore, we have a mitzvah of feeding our animals. We have a mitzvah to look after animals. So, what's going on here? How does that make sense?
Surely you wouldn't apply on Shabbos, because you're not going to
Shechtem Tavis. Yom Tov, you're right. Okay, today's Yom Tov, you're right. Correct. So give the example of 2 days Yom Tov. You're not going to feed your chicken for 2 days Yom Tov. You're going to have nothing to feed after Yom Tov anymore. It's going to be dead. You know, it sounds very, very good. Okay, so we learned the Mishnah Berurah with a very good practical etzah. Put the food a bit further away, and then it's going to chap, it's going to understand, it's going to get the food from the corner, and shalom alisot. Okay, that's probably partially the answer, but it's not the full answer. Okay, so the Bialacha comes to rescue, and it tells us something very interesting. In the name of the Rishonim, I mean the Bialacha Dibur Hamaschil, starting with the words Togim Ve'oifois. And I'm going to skip numerous lines, and I'm going to read what the Bialacha says over here after the brackets over here, starting V'chen Kosav Gankim B'chidush Aran. He quotes the Ran in Shabbos. The call shubir shusoy, any animal which is in your domain, which is your possession, which is yours. Afal pishu mukta, although it may be mukta, mezoinoi sav alechohu. You have an obligation to feed your animals. It's your responsibility. It's your obligation to feed your animals. They're yours. They're dependent on you. And mezonos avalecha, you've got the obligation to feed your animals. V'shorin, it's therefore permitted. The whole gzeira has not been said on you. What we learned over here is if it's not your animal, you see a random chicken on a farm of your next door neighbor. So there is the halacha. Or, you know, but if it's yours, you've got to see to it that your animals are well fed. Furthermore, uve'emes, the Mishnah Berurah says in the Bialacha, ein svar loimot, there is no logic in saying, to osu chachomim lebailim, there is no logic in saying that the Chachamim would forbid to the owners lefanes behema to feed your animals. There is no logic in saying that you've got that you may not feed your animals. On the contrary, you must feed your animals. And furthermore, there's a problem of tzar balechaim. Your animals, you may not cause agony to your animals. Well, if you're not feeding them for 2 days straight, you are inevitably causing them pain and agony. You don't have to do that. You've got tzar balechaim. Tis machlokes in the Gemara of tzar balechaim is the raisa or tzar balechaim is the rabon, but you're not allowed to do that directly either way. For kolzim mishum chashash shem yishkach v'yovol eshachtov yavor isa mukta, all this, which is an issa of tzar balechaim, and because of a potential chashash of perhaps you're going to be oibon mukta. Because he said it doesn't make sense. There's no logic in it. Shekula Yosef Rabbanon, that's certainly Rabbanon. Ve'al Torah Amra, and the Torah does state, specifically and clearly, Leman Yonuach Shoicho Ve'chamoicho. The Torah tells us, that the Torah makes no obligation on us, that Yonuach Shoicho, your ox and your donkey must rest. What kind of rest is there for an animal? If you're not feeding your animal, it's not going to relax. It's going to die. The Tomus Brav, the animal is going to die from hunger. So therefore, whilst if it's not your animal, if it's a random animal, of course, it's mukta, you may not feed it, alright, we understand. But if it's your animal, you've got an obligation to look after it. You've got a mitzvah on Leman Yonuach. Your animal must rest. Your animal is only going to rest if it's well fed, and you've got a issur of tzav alechayim, and you've got an obligation to look after them, and you have to ensure that it's well fed and well looked after. Therefore, this whole Shulchan Aruch over here is not referring to your own animals, rather it's referring to somebody else's animal. Now I must say, it's very logic, and it's very, very logical, and it makes a lot of sense. However, it's very, as we say in Lashon HaKodesh, it's very sosum in the Shulchan Aruch. It's the kind of thing you would have expected to be qualified and explained in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not. Although it comes from Iran, but the Shulchan Aruch, it would appear that it's not referring to, and it doesn't make that differentiation. But that's what we see. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
Why wouldn't an animal of yours be mufsid? If it belongs to you, should in the back of your mind, this animal may be something which you will want to touch. So what is the issue actually?
You're right. It wouldn't be. This is not referring to pet. This is not referring to pet. And it's talking about livestock, you're right. Now, with regards to pet generally, as to whether one may what one may stroke it or not, so that's a different challenge. I don't remember offhand exactly. I know that there is a discussion, but I don't remember offhand, but I remember that since there's an issue with a lot of animals such as cats and other animals that by stroking them, very often some of the fur comes off, so it could be that there's a chashash because of that, and that leads it to perhaps being a problem of actually ultimately being muktzah. But you're right that often it is not muktzah. But as I said, I don't remember offhand with regards to pet. We're not specifically talking about pet over here.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Yeah, good question. That's a really good question. Do you hear Rabbi Tepper's question? It's a fascinating question. I don't know the answer.
Just repeat it, please. Could you repeat the question?
Rabbi Tepper, it's a brilliant question. Rabbi Tepper, it's a brilliant question. I do not know the answer to your question. Because according to the Bi'alocha, we are referring to somebody else's animal, because you own an animal, you've got an obligation to look after it. So says the Bi'alocha, surely must be talking about somebody else's animals. You're asking, well, if it's Yenem's animal, you can't take it and shecht it. It's a good question, I do not know the answer. Any suggestions, Abba Isai? Any thoughts on this brilliant question? It's a great ukimta that. Very great ukimta. Very very narrow case. It boils down to be an extremely narrow case. I like your question a lot better than your answer. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
I think it's very different in southern hemisphere countries, in South Africa, in Australia. Pets are often kept by frugal Jewish people, and in parts of America as well. So I think that might be a European thing, this kind of dislike or fear of dogs. I think it's very different elsewhere. And just the point about stroking the hair and whether that might be shearing. A dog or a cat has got so much dead hair on top of it that when you stroke it and hair comes off, you're not plucking anything off the animal. That hair is lying on top.
Right. Well, if that's the case, then there's no problem at all. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, if it's dead hair, then then it would be, I hear that, so if that's the case, then it would be no problem of muktzah, so this is, you're right, you're correct in saying that when we talk about the problem of muktzah specifically, we're not talking about pets. This is correct. I'm really bothered by that question as well, Rabbi Tepa. It's a really good question. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, let's give a bit of a start to see if Gimel. A philosophic tzeda also, even if you're on tzeda is a problem, and we're going back now to the general rule on tzeda, general rule of tzeda, not specifically talking about Yom Tov, but generally Shabbos and Yom Tov, when it comes to tzeda, it's not just an itza when you are doing it with certainty, and you know for sure that you're actually trapping an animal, even Sofek Tzeda would be an Issa. So if you are not sure if you're trapping an animal, you may or may not, that would also be a problem. What would be the case for that? Kegoin, such as Mitzodus Chayodogim, Voifos, you have a trap, and there is a trap which could either be catching fish or chick or birds or anything else. Show your Buzmeir of Yom Tov, it's prepared. The trap is prepared before Yom Tov, and on Shabbos, or rather on Yom Tov, you find the animal trapped. It's still a problem. Why? Because it may have been trapped on, it may have been trapped on Yom Tov, and that would mean that it's also. Unless you know for sure that it was trapped before Shabbos, and then it's before Yom Tov, then it's fine. If you found the trap already a bit, you could see that it was used already, and you see something was not quite right before Yom Tov, but you never had a chance to actually look inside it if there's an animal actually trapped or not. Before Yom Tov, you can assume that it was trapped before Yom Tov, and then it's fine. But as a matter of rule, if you're not sure if it was or was not trapped, you have no idea. You have to. Then it's going to be Sofek Tzeda, and Sofek Tzeda remains also on Yom Tov. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, what we learned this evening is that animals are mukta, and therefore you may not feed them on Yom Tov because you're likely to start moving them, and you're going to start they're mukta. We learned that animals which are tome is anyway fine. We learned also to keep the food a bit further away, that's fine as well. We learned the fascinating bialach that if it's your animal, even if it's a kosher animal, it's your animal, you've got to look after it, you may not starve the animal. And then it's fine. We learned that sofek tzed is a problem as well. Not just a vadai tzed, but even a sofek tzed is a problem. And it would be, it would be a problem if it's sofek. However, if you know that it's been trapped, there's a chance it was trapped before Yom Tov, such as you saw the trap has been moved around already, and it looked like there is something must have happened before Yom Tov, then you can assume it was trapped before Yom Tov and it would be fine. Okay, gentlemen, that's it for this evening. I wish you a very good evening, gentlemen. All the very best.